Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell at your local alternative Solid State Radio. And, well, we've got a show lined up for you today. We'll get, well, right off the jump. Tuck coming, Tuck came, Tuck gone.
I'm a horse football coach right now.
Yeah. There's no way they're ever going to actually let him coach again, right?
I mean, all I know from reading what little I did on it was that he was involved in a sexual harassment suit with somebody. He was on the phone with somebody who was a sexual
harassment awareness, like, educator. Like, she was a vendor of the school. She was coming to speak to the football team.
Yeah.
About, you know, interaction.
Don't rape.
Basically, yes. More or less.
Gotcha.
And if you're going to go and step outside of your marriage, it seems like the worst thing you can possibly do is go and make allegedly unwanted advances on a sexual assault survivor who is also a vendor of your school, for who you are technically, you know, employing.
Well, I mean, he does like challenges.
Yeah, clearly he does.
I mean, was he like hitting on her, or was it kind of like being like real kind of
It was straight up phone sex.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know if it was like,
apparently,
oh, you're going to come talk to my football players. Maybe the women just want it, huh?
He kind of pulled a Louis C.K. over the phone.
Oh.
If you know what I'm...
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? People in the public eye must get away with this all the time, because whenever we hear of something like this happens, whether it's Louis C.K. or Mel Tucker or whatever, it's like, don't these people know that they're going to get caught? Well, apparently they don't think they're going to get caught. So who else is doing this, you know? Don't want to know.
Yeah, I feel like you almost don't want to know, because I feel like it's going to ruin a lot of people
when
for
they
you.
When they were going to start naming names about this Epstein Island and everything else, and all of a sudden COVID happened. Oh, okay. Oh, COVID. I mean, if I can put my tinfoil hat on for a second, I won't keep it on long. But yeah, all of a sudden it's like, Tom Hanks, and all of a sudden becomes a citizen of Greece at the time. He comes out with COVID. I don't know. I hope not Tom Hanks. He's like America's father now.
Exactly. You like to not think that, but just admitting, because he has admitted at this point, he claims that their relationship and what they were doing was consensual. Here's the problem with that, and here's why Mel Tucker's a moron still for doing it.
Yeah.
She's still an employee of the school. She was getting paid by Michigan State University, presumably by the football team, the athletic department, to come and talk about not sexually assaulting people. And you thought it would be a good idea to start fooling around with her when she is technically your subordinate. Yeah. What is wrong with you?
Right. It's like, you know, going to somebody who, you know, your Weight Watcher sponsor, say, you want to go for pizza after this?
It's like of all the things you could do, like, this is a person who clearly has reported people for doing this kind of very thing in the past, and that you would go and try and do that. Like, how tone deaf are you? How stupid are you? How horse bleep are you?
I'm a horse football coach right now.
I don't understand. What went through your head that made this seem like a good idea? Just for this error in judgment alone, honestly, should be enough to void that contract.
Yeah. And what, you know, what's kind of funny is anytime there's a head coach in peril in these kind of situations, there's always that one faction that they would just want to come to his defense. Oh, well, he's a decent when they're winning. But you notice that, you know, Tucker gets in trouble and everybody on the Spartan side is just like, oh, yeah, let's get rid of him. There's like nobody.
Keyword, when they're winning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Winning does a lot to...
There's like nobody to his side.
And honestly, nor should there be. Like, the fact that you were stupid enough to do this really just shows a error in judgment, which, well, I mean, look the product on the football field this last season. I mean,
yeah,
you're already kind of wondering how you were going to get out of this contract. And, well, you done found yourself an out real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Unfortunately. But, I mean, even like in Ohio State where, you know, there was coaches smacking their wives around, there were still people coming, oh, well, you know, maybe it's allegedly. I mean, let's get all the stories. And maybe it's not that big of a
Urban Meyer's still mad you get a job after that.
I know. State fans are like, oh, that happened? Well, let's get rid of him. D'Antonio, what are you doing? You up?
Yeah, and yet you still know we're going to have to go through another season of mostly U of M fans here going on about how, oh, the culture in Michigan State's so bad and all this and that. Yeah. Meanwhile, what was going on your offensive coordinator's computer again? What about these things that Harbaugh still has not still is like trying to suspend himself but won't admit to having done?
Yep.
But yet now we're going to have to hear about how we have a culture of, you know, a bad culture at this school and everything else, and this is going to tie into Larry Nassar again because it always does.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, you had a kid catch a gun charge and played the next week.
Uh-huh. Like, if anybody wants to sit there and say there's no kind of shenanigans going on at U of M, have never attended U of M or been around somebody who's attended or been awake.
And I don't want to do the what about thing. That's not my point in doing this, but you have to at least on some level appreciate the fact that as soon as the story came out, they knew they had to suspend it. Like there has been some other reporting around this that State didn't necessarily know the extent of the allegations. Cause when in a Title IX investigation, the only people who know are the accuser and the accused basically, and their respective legal teams. Like there's not a lot of other things that are put out there, but then the accuser in question decided to come out and put her name to it. And basically like this all ultimately came out through her. I don't know how much Michigan State and how much, Alan Hollard knew and when he knew it. The board are all completely aloof anyway. So I'm sure none of them had any idea because the board of trustees are the most incompetent people at their jobs in possibly the entire state of Michigan, really. And the sooner we get rid of them, the better.
Yeah.
But just, I it floors me that someone could make such an error in judgment and even think for a second that they still have, and I'm assuming at this point we have to wait until because the Title IX hearing is going to be first weekend of October. I have to assume that we're waiting at this point on the results of that before they can officially relieve him of his, but it seems like just what he admitted to, carrying on a romantic relationship, if it was indeed consensual, with a subordinate, is still grounds for violation of the moral turpitude clause in the contract, you would think.
Look at you whipping out turpitude. If it was so romantic, it was so consensual, why is she popping off about it?
Yeah, because she clearly did not feel that way.
Right.
Obviously,
yeah, like,
and is it ultimately he said, she said thing to an extent, certainly, but you don't exactly get the feeling that if she felt it was consensual that she'd be going to the press about it. And let's remember here, flashback to last season with the Boston Celtics head coach, Ime Udoka, who was having a consensual affair with a subordinate.
Oh, that's right.
And that was still enough to get him canned.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't necessarily matter that it was consensual. Even if it was, it's still
ethically wrong. You know, it's against policy.
Power dynamics, abuse of power, whatever you want to call it. It's still grounds for, you know, you could see them terminating his contract just under that alone. That would be enough to fire you. And enough that if he were to try and sue to retain some portion of his money, he's probably not going to get it.
To put it in plain English for some of you out there, you don't put your meat where you get your bread.
No, you absolutely don't, especially when one of you is a supervisor. When one of you is basically directly responsible for paying the other and can influence the other person's career, because presumably, were she doing her job and he was not just a lecherous D-bag, he would presumably be in a position to recommend her or not for future jobs of that sort. It's the power dynamic isn't equal here. and you knew damn well that that was something that has gotten people fired for much less. And the fact that you knew that and you chose to do it anyway shows, quite frankly, a level of judgment that I'm not good with on the part of my head coach.
Yeah, I think all the signs are pointing. Sparty knows what they need to do.
They know what they need to do. It's a question of, are they actually going to do it? And I truly hope that they make the right decision here and do that. But
they gotta be careful, because if they can him without, you know, due process or whatever, I don't know if he could come back and sue the school.
I feel like he probably could, but also, again, there's what he's already admitted to. And what he has said that he did, mm-hmm, is still enough, I think, that you could argue that he still violated the contract. Now, whether it turns into just this messy, drawn-out thing at that point, and they end up being forced to settle, is a whole nother question altogether. If that's something that state really wants to go through and be scrutinized in the media around here and nationwide for, it just looks like another black eye. Even if they ultimately end up getting more or less the desired outcome, I feel like if that's the case, then they pay him to go away. But if they wait until the 5th and 6th of October, when the hearing actually happens, and then, okay, yeah, you can't come back here. I don't think at that point there's any way that Tucker would be able to successfully argue that he didn't get his day in court, so to speak.
Sure.
At that point, I don't think he'd have a leg to stand on if he actually tried to battle this. Like, the smartest thing you do is just take the money he's earned at this point. It was, what, a $95 million deal? You've earned $15 million of it. Take that money, go away, maybe either try and fix your marriage or, I guess, get out of it, whichever, and then go on, you know, carrying on inappropriate relationships as you see fit from there, I guess. I don't know. At that point, you're not our problem anymore.
Oh, yeah, $15 million. Could turn into $7.5 million if your wife gets too pissed off, so you better make nice with mama.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. Interestingly, you did mention the Coach D'Antonio up. He is apparently now our defensive coordinator.
Yep.
As Harlan Barnett's been promoted to head coach for the time being. Coach D coming back. And this is, I mean, it's not exactly what you'd like to see, in that certainly there was a little bit of a share of controversy towards the end of his days with the football program. A lot of players that were not on the up and up at all. And he kind of had to leave when he did, because he wasn't otherwise probably going to. But you do somewhat wonder. I mean, he came back, but, you know, he kind of had to do that. He ultimately had to. They had to bring someone back, a steady hand to right the ship. Basically, the Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin thing, the Bob Stoops at Oklahoma thing. You know, he's in interim to come back and kind of help guide the ship, such as it is.
Right.
And learn some of those other guys. Stoops certainly has some questionable things in his background when he was coaching the Sooners. Uh-huh. But they bring him back as the interim because, like, he's a steady hand that knows the ship and it at least didn't sexually harass anybody that we know about.
That we know about.
So we'll take that for whatever it might be. So, I mean, you kind of knew they were going to, that they were probably going to reach out to him. There's still a few people in the program who have been there since he was the head coach. So that wasn't a huge surprise. But if they actually keep Alan Haller around, assuming that they find that he didn't have advanced knowledge of this and wasn't able to do any more than he did at the time, you absolutely, positively have to get this next coach hire right. You don't get a third shot at this.
No.
You hired one, and it's looking now like that's going to flame out spectacularly. You get maybe one more chance at this. And if you don't get it right, especially with the prospect coming up here real soon, that we're looking at, you know, expansion, realignment in the Big Ten, you're adding all these teams, the whole landscape of college football changing the way it has, and really kind of the thus far the reluctance and outright rejection, if anything, of NIL deals here. You're looking at you might become Rutgers real quick, man. That's all I'm saying. Geez. You stand very Uh-oh. Good chance if you don't play this next hire right. You risk becoming one of those irrelevant teams in your conference that never contends for anything, never really sees above 500. Maybe you get to play a bowl game once every 5 years if you're lucky. You become Northwestern. You become Indiana. You become Rutgers, really. Like, Nebraska. Like, that's what happens to you at that point. It is absolutely imperative that your next guy gets this right. And I guess we don't really know if Alan Holler is going to be the guy to make that call anyway, because your president's not even permanent on the job still. It's yet another interim in this Teresa Woodruff. So she might be getting replaced. She's going to get replaced at some point. Who knows if your new president's going to want to deal with that? Like, there's just a lot of things that you have to hope that the next, whoever the next person in charge is here, gets this thing right. And you got to hope that the clown college above them that's running this whole clown show doesn't get in the way. That's kind of where you find yourself, I feel like.
It's going to be a very interesting couple of months. I just feel bad for Spartan fans. I mean, I really truly do. There's no sarcasm there, because they're the ones who, you know, mommy and daddy are fighting, and they're the ones who are paying the price.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, your team, and you feel sorry for the players even, because, you know.
Oh, definitely the players.
And I got to imagine, depending on how the outcome of all of this goes, like, you might see some kids hitting the transfer portal.
Yep.
And that's the last thing you need, because your current, well, now former head coach was not big on hitting the transfer portal and competing in that in the name, image, likeness department. So those are two things that you have to change real quick on the football side of things if you want to avoid becoming Rutgers. That's kind of where it comes down to on that. I swear, we have more fun things to do today. It's not going to be like this all show, but we had to hit that off the jump because it's
been 9/11 memories coming up right after this.
Yeah. It's only the biggest sports story that we're probably going to see all year. So, I mean, we had to get into it in depth off the jump. Lots to do today. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. There's Youngblood, your local alternative. It is Solid State Radio, streaming the world at solidstateradio.net. The Solid State Radio app and the Solid State Radio skill for your Alexa or other wiretap device. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And this is where we kind of go off, derail from the... Well, actually, no. I do have one sports-related thing to get to. I mean, yeah, there's a whole weekend of football we can discuss. But, I mean, let's be honest, how much around here do we care about that? We did the Lions stuff on Friday,
yeah.
So...
Yeah.
It's mostly just, oh, my God, Sunday night's game with Dallas and New York, where the G-Man just got blew out.
Yeah, I called that one, didn't I? Oh, geez. I was surprised by that one.
I think we all kind of were.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll run down the picks probably on tomorrow's show, but... We should probably address this rumor because it is still floating about, has been for quite a while.
Sure.
The idea that apparently one Patrick Kane has interest in joining the Detroit Red Wings.
It won't go away.
It won't, and I don't understand it.
All the clickbait pages, they've been talking about it. I have yet to hear anything from any major news source. From Patrick Kane's camp, the Red Wings. Is there an interest from him to join the Wings? Sure. Okay, I can buy that.
Probably an interest for any team that will have him to join them.
Kind of. I mean, it didn't work with New York Rangers, unfortunately. But you can't shoulder him the blame for that either. I mean, that whole thing just kind of imploded. And they have a good team. They're on paper. They look fantastic. And adding Patrick Kane at the towards the trade deadline was everybody expected the Blue Shirts to do much better than a first-round exit. But as these past playoffs proved, there is no guarantees. So if New York Rangers don't want him back, That says something right there. Now, do the wouldn't he be a good fit to the Wings? I don't know, because I mean he's nagging shoulder injuries. I'm not gonna say he's getting up there in years, because he's, you know, his mid 30s. A lot of times players really hit their stride between 30 and 33. And I mean he knows how to play hockey. He's first overall draft pick. I think he's got an Art Ross under his belt. So, I mean, the guy knows how to play. He knows how to score.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, then nobody else is interested in him? I mean, has anybody taken a flyer on him, kicked the tires a little bit? But I haven't heard. I just keep hearing that he wants to come to Detroit because he wants to play with Alex DeBrincat. And, you know, and that's all well and good, but how much does he want to get paid? Do we really have a roster spot for him when we're trying to season these young players? We're just not in a situation where we need a big name like Patrick Kane coming in, taking up a roster spot, soaking up salary cap.
No, we're really not. So the source I'd found on it was John Dietz, who's a reporter for the Daily Herald, which is a paper like just outside of, like in one of the suburbs of Chicago.
Sure.
Who's been reporting. Someone who knows Kane very well said Kane told him he wanted to follow Alex DeBrincat if when he was able. Of course, there has to be mutual interest, so we'll see if Detroit extends the olive branch. But watch for Patrick Kane to sign there.
I guess. I mean, if it happens, I'm not going to throw my hands up and say, what are they doing? I'll be excited. I really will. But
I'm okay with it.
Some of it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't seem like it's a move that the Wings would make or should be making at this point of the rebuild such as it is.
If there's any team-player marriage that should be happening, he should be going back to Chicago.
Are you kidding me? Taves is already talking about wanting to retire.
Well, Taves, yeah, he wants to retire, but there's so much of interest in the Blackhawks now that they've got Connor Bedard.
And Chicago's probably still going to finish like close to last in their division. Connor Bedard's not going to immediately make that team a contender overnight. That's just not going to happen. Like there's still a lot of other things that they really honestly don't have. This is going to finish dead last in the Central Division last season. Connor Bedard alone is not going to make them a playoff team.
No, of course not.
Like they're very, very much still in the early stages of a rebuild, and neither Kane nor Taves really want to be part of a rebuild at this point in their careers, and it's honestly hard to blame either one of them.
Well, then that also is another knock against him coming to Detroit, because as exciting moves that Detroit has made, they're not in contention, and a lot of people are expecting them to make a playoffs this year, which I think that's a very reasonable, rational expectation from this team.
It is.
But they're not a contender.
But you're closer than Chicago is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Chicago's not even going to sniff, they're not even going to sniff a wild card spot by the time the All-Star break rolls around. Detroit should be in contention for the wild card, should make a playoff appearance this year.
I hope so.
At the very least, they should be. There's no reason that they wouldn't be in contention last weekend of the season, but I fully expect they will make the playoffs.
I hope so. I just know that the Atlantic Division is still one of the toughest in the NHL. I mean, you've got Boston. They're going to take a step backwards, and that's not to say that they're going to suck. That's just going to mean they probably won't get the President's Trophy this year. They're still going to be good.
Yeah, Toronto is probably going to still be as good as they were.
They made a lot of positive moves. I'd keep one close eye on Toronto at all times.
Yeah, but they didn't really. I don't think they made enough moves that get them actively better and haven't. Like most of the moves you heard have been extending their guys that they already have to longer term deals. You're still going to have to figure out the cap hell you're going to be in come next season.
Oh yeah, that's next season's problem. They're living in the now.
But the now, I don't think they've made enough moves that upgrade them from what they were last year.
Well, you still got Tampa Bay doing Tampa Bay like things.
As they do. Florida's going to be around for a while.
I think is going to be taking a step back. If you're going to see a team that is not going to be as good as last year, it's going to be Florida.
Perhaps not, but I still think they have as good a chance as anybody to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I just don't expect them to make the finals like they did last year. Last year was they were rolling, and I think they've taken a hit. Something about losing in the finals very rarely do you bounce back from that.
Right. Realistically, at this point, the only two teams I completely put out of any hope to contend in this division this year are Montreal and Ottawa.
Yeah.
It depends on, you know, if Buffalo's pieces really all gel like they probably should be at their stage of the rebuild. I mean, there's six teams, theoretically, that you could see making the playoffs. And I don't... You're going to have to remind me how the format works, like how many total wild cards, doesn't matter what the divisions are, in.
I mean, at most, you're going to get five out of your division. Because the 1, 2, and 3 out of your division go in.
Okay, so it's two wild cards then.
Yep.
I could see both of them being from the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Like, Carolina's probably going to make it again. New Jersey's probably going to get in. One of the two New York teams might make it in.
Rangers, yes.
Islanders, probably not so much.
No.
And I think and Pittsburgh and the Caps are kind of on the decline at this point. Like they were the really good teams, like the standard bearers for a long time, yes. And now they are very much not.
I mean, Pittsburgh still has that 1-2 punch of Crosby and Malkin, but they're getting on in years.
Yeah, they're getting
a little long in the tooth.
They're getting up there, man. They've been in the league for two decades now. How long can you really count on that as your?
Oh my God, they have almost been two decades, isn't it?
We're getting old, Adam.
Oh my God, I remember Sean playing PlayStation 2. Listening to the draft when Crosby was drafted in 2005.
Do you remember that, Adam?
Yes, I do, vividly. I said, this kid's not going to amount to anything.
That sounds exactly like the kind of nuanced take I would expect from you, sir.
Yeah.
Back in my day, when we still had the PS2.
Yeah, I was playing on the PS2, yeah. I didn't even have joysticks on this thing. No, actually they did. Oh yeah, but it was
a different time.
It was a different time, a different place. But yeah, we knew Crosby was going to be good. But as backtracking to the Wings, sign Kane if you want. But I mean, if Kane thinks that he's going to get, you know, $6-8 million for one season, I think.
Come on, he has to know what this.
Iserman's not that. He wasn't born last night.
He has to know at this point in his career what he is.
He has to. He's kind of going to take that Bobby Ryan route. Take that 1 year, $1 million, and a show me year.
No, that's what it's going to have to be. You're absolutely right. Like, you're not getting a multi. You're 34 years old, which, I mean, admittedly is not. Even in hockey years isn't terrible, but, I mean, you put a lot of miles on in that time.
Yeah, but. It's Patrick Kane who has three Stanley Cups, silver medal, I think, because you know, he's an American-born player there. And what do you do in college? Oh, who cares?
But last year for
Art Ross Trophy, he doesn't have a Hart Trophy, no.
I'll tell you that in a moment. Last year was the last year of his deal. He's making $10.5 million.
Jesus.
There's no way.
Yikes.
He has to know that he's not getting remotely near that in free agency to put up 21 goals, 36 assists last year. He does have...
According to his, you know, mid-20s, I mean, he was racking them up.
That he was, but you kind of... He's on the downslope of the career for sure, though. You would, you know, just based on the stats alone. You're right, by the way. He has the Ross Trophy and a Hart Trophy.
He does have a Hart
Smythe Trophy. And obviously 3-time Cup winner, 4-time All-Star.
Yep. I mean, he's got the hardware. You just got to wonder. I know that he had a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
He had something. I don't know if he's had surgery or he's getting surgery or what's going on. But, I mean, you got to wonder if that decline was because of the shoulder. Yeah.
No, that's absolutely a fair thing. Like, you could absolutely see at this point that being the case. Like,
and maybe, and I hate to sound like a broken record every season. Here goes Adam talking about veteran presence, but maybe having him on a team with so many young players, having a Marco Kasper looking up to a Patrick Kane, might not be the worst thing in the world.
Exactly. And I'm looking at further updates on the Kane situation. There still doesn't appear to be anybody else who's really on this. Like, Detroit Hockey Now's Kevin Allen reports through Chris Johnson at TSN that Kane is not looking to rush into a decision and, quote, he is focused on just the one team. There are a couple of different situations that would probably be appealing.
Well, you know, the if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm taking a flyer out on him. Absolutely. If I'm the Flyers, I'm taking a flyer out on him. But, I mean, you know Vegas has got to be sniffing around, but they don't have anything to offer.
Well, yeah, they don't have any salary cap left. No. And they won their cup. I don't think they're really in that position now. Johnson also adds that he doesn't think Kane's going to rush back, and he may not play until November or December.
Okay.
For whatever that might be worth.
Well, a cold guy with a bum shoulder. No, that sounds good to me. Sign him up.
I don't see the issue here.
Yeah. Oh, who needs training camp?
Training camp's
overrated. Who needs a rehabilitation stint? No, just put him on out there.
Just throw him out there. He'll be fine.
Yep, just fine. Why don't you sign with the team and then show up right before the playoffs? Pull Peter Forsberg.
Just take the entire season off. Gotta love the Peter Forsberg plan, really.
Yeah, right. Hey, it's crazy.
Hey, it worked for him, though, or I guess the Steve Stamkos, too.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Stamkos and Kucherov the year after that? It's just like,
come on, Tampa. We're not that stupid.
It is always fun to watch all the oh, my God, he's magically ready just in time to not count against the salary cap. Would you just look at that?
Isn't that something?
Oh, it's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Shine down at your local alternative Solid State Radio, where we've now spent 6 years playing more music than MTV has in the last two decades. And apparently, I mean, I don't know, you've kind of heard that the whole network has basically been reduced to nothing but ridiculousness 24/7.
Oh, we've
like
we've
literally
seen
the
that.
Show. Like yeah. You look at the schedule, it's just ridiculousness, like all effing day, all week, really.
Yeah, they've given up.
Basically.
And I get it. It's a popular show. It costs nothing to create except for Rob Dyrdek's shoe budget.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's almost like at a planning meeting, it's like, all right, how about we just do ridiculousness until the end of time? Sounds good. Okay, let's get home to our families. Lock up the office, shut the lights off, and just there's one guy making sure that the you know everything's running smoothly. Kind of reminds me of like the Weird Al movie UHF.
Kind of, except
just ridiculousness.
Except you get the feeling that there's more competent people that were working at that station than here.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of sad considering MTV has been, you know, well, in the 80s, 90s, and even the early 2000s, they were the say so. They decided what was hot. They decided what was popular, and now they're just playing just ridiculousness or like the trash, unscripted shows like Jersey Shore, Teenage Mom, or as they call it in the South, Mom.
Right.
So, I don't know. There's a lot of channels that do that.
No, it does kind of seem that way anymore. But apparently, the writers, such as they are for that show, which who knew that show had writers. They apparently are ready to, they're pushing to unionize over the last few months, I guess. One of the writers told Deadline this week, we produce the most profitable show currently on TV, and yet here we're paid 60% less than WGA writers that work for America's Funniest Home Videos. Unscripted television is very much scripted, and our writing staff is fed up with being abused and underpaid by Paramount, MTV, and Rob Dyrdek.
Wow, that just pulls back the curtain. Because, yeah, you would think like all those little quips that they say are thought up by them.
Right, when everyone knows that Rob Dyrdek and Crystal San Francisco or whatever her stupid name is aren't clearly are not smart enough to come up with these things on their own.
Yeah, Steelo Brim and Chanel West Coast, who she's not on the show anymore. I heard she was leaving the show. But yeah, they would bring guests in, and it was always like some C-list rapper. And like, I've never heard of this guy before in my life. But then they'd bring in like Jerry Springer or something like that. And it was like really cool. But yeah, you just, I didn't know, you just think that there were no writers.
You would think that just for the simple fact that nothing they say seems so particularly hilarious yeah. or like that much thought was involved. Like, I guess it does take a lot more effort to make these people sound as dumb as they are.
So here's a smoke-filled room, a writer's room for ridiculousness. Okay, guys, we're getting to the 11th hour. We got to get something down there. Okay, how about this? Steelo Brim says, what does Steelo say? What he doing? What do he think he doing? And then Chanel does that cackle, and we good? All right, let's get out of here. we've got ourselves a show. The one thing that just, it shouldn't tickle me, but the idea that Rob Dyrdek is a union buster.
Right?
Hey, all right, guys, well, they want to unionize? Well, send in Pinkerton. Here comes a fire hose coming in hot. Bouncing up and down like a like a chihuahua on meth, the way he does.
Well, yeah, you can't have these writers getting raises. I mean, this man's got, he's like you said, he's got sneaker budgets to think about here.
Yeah, I got to keep a bunch of kids in sneakers. My brother went to a skateboard camp with him.
Oh, yeah?
Over in Pennsylvania, yeah. Says he knows the guy. Said he was real cool.
Is he? Well, that's good at least.
Well, yeah, he's not writing for him either.
True. Yeah, he doesn't work for the cat, so I guess he has got that going for him.
Yeah, first of all, okay, why are you bringing up America's Funniest Videos? I mean, is that still a thing? I mean,
yeah.
I thought that died out when, Bob Saget told him to take a hike. He's like, I'm done with this. Oh, no, they had that Tom Bergeron.
Yeah, Tom Bergeron has been hosting it forever. Wasn't it Carlton from The Fresh Prince ended up hosting it for a while?
Yep. Actually, now that you say that, I found that on one of the streaming services, put that on Funny Animal Videos. It was just specifically animal videos, something like that. But yeah, I mean, I guess that I could believe has more writers because they do like, you know, voiceover while the thing's going on.
Right. There's like a couple jokes at least per video.
Yeah.
Which are actual jokes and not just whatever random exclamations fall out of Rob Dyrdek.
Yeah, he just says, coming in hot. She cackles. And he says, what he doing? What's he dinky doing?
Basically. I didn't realize they were still on too. 34 seasons now. America's Funniest Home Video. I didn't realize that.
Wow. Yeah. You remember, you may remember the first seasons with Bob Saget.
Yeah.
It was the cheesiest crap ever. I mean, it was so cringe. Worse than dad jokes. And then a lot of people.
And you know how much I hate dad jokes.
Oh, you despise dad jokes. What was killing me, what I loved, it was that a lot of people would see, oh, hey, Bob Saget's coming to town to do stand-up. This will be a good family, wholesome entertainment for everybody.
Oh, how wrong they were.
They had to put signs up there. Says, okay, now go home and watch America's Funniest Videos because that's the kind of comedy you want. You're not getting this here.
No, that is not at all what Bob Saget did.
No.
Geez. He got a bit wrong. Like, and people don't realize because he did, you know, that show in Full House and, you know, all of that. They don't realize just how filthy his stuff was a lot of the time. Now, here's the funny thing about the ridiculousness stuff.
Sure.
So, obviously, there's calls, like, their list of demands, which got acquired by Deadline. It's not just usual things like, you know, profit sharing and, you know, better working conditions.
Sure.
They actually included a request for MTV to order more shows. Here, please, order some shows that aren't ours, for Christ's sake.
They want other shows.
Yeah, they want MTV to program occasionally things that aren't ridiculousness.
Yeah. I can't believe anybody in the entertainment world would have been like, let's just keep doing ridiculousness. And it's not just them. It's a lot of these streaming services. The channels like History Channel will do American Pickers or Ice Road Truckers for days.
Oh, yeah. Maybe, but at least they have, you know, multiple shows that with which they can do.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just the one. It's not like History Channel is literally nothing but Pawn Stars all day, every day.
So, please, give us a day off.
Right.
We can't write this stuff anymore.
We can only write so many different cackles for Chris to Gulf of Mexico or whatever.
And then here comes Deer Deck in red DC everything. Hey, get back to work. Write me something funny. Coming in hot. Get him out.
Wow.
Mr. Daredeck, we've been working for 12 hours straight.
Don't care. You work for 12 more.
I want to go work for Jimmy Fallon. Screw this. Oh, how wrong they were.
Right? Like, it's amazing to me that, like, you never hear about writers asking for, like, please put on other shows. But when your show is literally the entire network, I guess that's just the sort of thing that happens.
Even they're sick of their work. It's like, well, there's us again.
We're so sick of this show. Oh, we really are. Just make it stop.
Look, she's going to, Chanel West Coast has to flash out something or something to make it more interesting. We got to do something here.
Yeah, anything. Here's the best at Solid State Radio. 9 days at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And, you know, concert tickets are not cheap these days.
Oh,
and
I know. Tell me about it.
As it stands right now, I'm basically going to one concert this year, and that's next Friday where Rach and I were bought tickets by the folks to go see Willie Nelson down at Pine Knob.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's a classic, though.
Well, yeah. And how long is he going to be around? I mean, he's 90 years old. He's not going to be going for much longer. And the tickets weren't even, like, unreasonably priced.
So what you're saying is don't miss a first song?
Yeah, you don't know how many you're going to get, really. But apologies to Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
But, like, we wanted to go. Like, we had talked about even going to Riot Fest in Chicago. Our, Solid State colleague Serenity Grant's going to be down there this coming weekend. And there was such a huge, just so much of a... The lineup was just amazing. Like, at least 20, 30 bands that are on my all-time bucket list.
Uh-huh.
And then a bunch of my favorites that I've already seen. But it was like $300 for a whole weekend of shows to get in. And, you know, we kind of figured that, okay, there's no way we can possibly do this. That's as much as we want to. There's no way we can feasibly make this happen. Then you got a bitch like this who gets a write-up in Rolling Stone who went to 20 Taylor Swift concerts this year and it only cost her $5,000.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, apparently this 27-year-old, like, okay, the whole article is about how she breaks down how between work, finances, and going to war with Ticketmaster, she managed to attend nearly 24 Taylor Swift shows this year. Like, first off, if I had $5,000 just burning a hole in my pocket,
yeah,
I don't think there's any one artist that I would be using that money to go see 20 effing times.
I know.
In a year.
Oh, and you know, by that 20th one, she just doesn't shut up about it. She's just telling everybody, oh, here comes this song. Here, oh, watch what she's going to do. She wanted to go to 25, but she got her ass kicked.
And of course, naturally, after attending around 6 shows, this Instagram, this social media influencer or whatever, she starts posting content from the tour on her TikTok account, which boasts 6,200 followers and something like 500,000 who gives a hell likes. Fans expressed disbelief and oftentimes envy she was able to attend multiple shows while they struggled to find tickets to one. I don't understand why you waste your money on this.
I would have liked to seen that show, to be honest with you. But I don't think I'd pay money to see it once, much less 20 times.
No, like I'm not paying the ridiculous amount of money to see it once. Tickets for 2 shows were given to her for free by friends who won a contest and invited her as their plus one. Which
that's cool.
I'm sorry. You're already going to see 20 or 17 other concerts from this bitch this summer. I'm not giving you my ticket at that point. If anything, I'm flipping that and, you know, making me some bank off of it.
Right.
3 others were obstructed view seats that were behind the stage and meant they were only $70 a piece.
Only $70.
$70.
Times are different,
aren't
they?
To not have a view of the... You're literally behind the stage. Like, you're playing like LCA and like the show's all facing this way, you're paying $70 for tickets back here. Like, literally you don't see anything at all.
Well, I mean, the way they have the stages set up, and if I remember correctly, the stage setup for Taylor Swift, a lot of those big stadium shows, everything's like, you have the band over here, and like everything's done in the center. So she was able to probably see everything, but yeah, it's still obstructive view. You probably weren't going to see the drummer. You weren't going to see the bass player, and who cares about that?
Honestly, it doesn't sound like even that was the case. Like, there was, like, the stage was set up the way, like, I looked at some of the line out, the setups for these things, and no, you were literally, like, she and everything is facing out here, out in one direction, and you're, like, directly behind that.
Yeah. I remember getting
tickets. And people are paying that kind of money for
sure.
Just to see I was in the same building as her.
Oh, yay. I mean, so when REM was like really, really hot in the 90s, my girlfriend got tickets and she's like, yeah, it's behind the stage, it's partially obstructed. I'm like, all right, well, this might suck, but really didn't. I mean, they acknowledged people back there, and they had like a screen come up, but you could see through the screen.
Yeah,
and it was pretty awesome setup, actually. But that was that show. Concerts have changed since, and who are now? It's like I look at, like, you know, footage of like the Metallica two night shows they're doing. I can't really see a set stage per se.
Right. It's kind of
like in the round, but not.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like. And if they were at least in the round, that would make a little more sense. That'd be a little more fair. That you probably sell a lot more tickets and, you know, be able to sleep at night that way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. When I saw Metallica first time, they were actually in the round.
Now that would be cool. I would love to see that sort of thing. But
$5,000. I mean, that's just for the tickets. She doesn't tell you. She's got to travel to all these places. She's got to get hotels. She's got to eat. So, I mean, yeah, $5,000 for the tickets themselves, which that's still pretty good. That's a good deal. But, I mean, everything else, she's probably at $25,000, $30,000.
Apparently, she estimates her total spending between 20 concert tickets, 8 round-trip flights, and hotels in every city to be around $5,000. It would have been closer to $9,000, but credit card points and airline miles with Delta and Southwest significantly knocked down her total, as well as splitting accommodations with multiple other friends.
Huh. I don't know. I mean, I've heard that, you know, a lot of times you can get tickets to see these big shows if you go like the day of, almost like right before they start. But I mean, that's a big gamble.
That is a huge gamble. And doing all of that to see the same show 20 different times just seems insane to me. And also that, I don't know, man. Like that's a level of obsession I just can't understand. Like these fans are just so rabid that they're willing to do things and drop this kind of money. And
yeah, I mean, I'm a Kiss fan, and even though
you're not even going to see their farewell tour show.
No, I started thinking, I'll just see what tickets are like, and it's they're too much. The tickets are too damn high.
No, they really are.
But I mean, you heard, back when the Deadheads.
Oh, yeah.
They would travel cross-country to see him every day.
Well, they're a bunch of dirty hippies who probably didn't have jobs anyway. Yeah. So, I mean, really, what are they missing out on?
Nothing, really. A shower.
Well, yeah, but let's be honest, they weren't going to take one of those anyway.
Right. So, just I'm becoming part of the Earth, man.
I guess I need to apologize to Swifties and Deadheads.
Yep.
It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around.
I'm a horse football coach right now.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Yeah, good riddance there, man. That's just going to about do it for us for this afternoon. Stick around, though. A full hour of local original music. I believe that's what you do at 6 o'clock, right, Adam?
That, along with some tasty homemade garlic bread recipes. It's going to be fantastic.
Ooh, I'm intrigued for
all
this.
All organic.
Ooh, I'll very much be I'll actually tune into the show for a change. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show that we like to call Solid State Sessions. In the meantime, we're getting the hell out of here. All being well, talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.